Accession number 21026, Wheel 1.
Les Brian, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Borstal Heath, Birmingham.
Which year was this?
1924.
Did both your mother and father come from Birmingham?
Yes, they were from big families.
How many children were in your family?
Nine.
All boys?
Six boys, three girls. And there was two sisters that one died at 18 months and one at 4 months.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a metal caster, melting down brass for ingots. A very hard job.
Did you go to school in Birmingham?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
I went to a council school. I forget the name of the first one, but one was called the Audley Road School, and that was near Alum Rock, Birmingham.
How old were you when you finished schooling?
14 years.
So that must have been in 1938.
That's right.
Did you get a job?
Yes. 9 and 8 pence a week.
Doing what?
I was putting hot and cold glazing on taps by machine.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
No. No, I was at my father's factory, and I was, as the metal came through the rolls, I had to put them in acid to clean the metal, used for war work.
What were you producing for the war?
Well, it was just the metals, you know.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did indeed, yes.
Under what circumstances?
I just heard it over the radio, you know.
Any feelings about the news at the time?
Yes, I wanted to, even though I was so young, 15 years of age, I wanted to fight. It was an adventure for all boys that I knew. They wanted to go and fight.
Did you want to go in the army or navy or what?
No, I wanted to be a soldier.
Did the war affect you at first?
Yes, the air raids on Birmingham. Terrible.
Can you describe your own memories of the...
Yes, I can. I went to... pictures one night, and as I came out I could see the tram track, and there was a stick of bombs, incendiaries, just like fairy lights dropping on the track, and I was so terrified I ran home about 3 miles.
What was your address at that time?
Three, two, one, Coal Hall Lane. Stetchford, Birmingham.
Did any bombs fall in that road or in that area?
Yes, yes. Landmines. We had quite a lot of heavy bombing in Birmingham, mainly in the centre of the city. I lived about 8 miles from the city.
What damage did the landmines in Stetchford area do?
Oh, they demolished the houses. There was a row of houses, just, you know, many killed.
Did you use shelters?
Yes.
What kind of shelter?
The Anderson shelter, which was a trench dug in the garden, and the it was set over the trench, and then turf was put over the top of the shelter. But of course, if a bomb hit the shelter, it'd be very little use to you. But it was some comfort that you were below ground. And when you're frightened, I think Mother Earth is the best place to be.
How uncomfortable was it in an Anderson shelter?
Very damp, cold, depending on the weather, of course. Dampness mainly, cold. But of course, you took down into the shelter what comforts you could, such as blankets, coats, anything to keep you warm, a flask, drink, mainly drinks, you know, hot drinks.
Food?
Food, of course, yes.
Could you get any sleep in an Anderson shelter?
Not very much, no. When there was the all clear sounded, you dashed to the house, and very often, if it was an air raid during the night, you got into bed with your clothes on.
What were the dimensions of the trench of the Anderson children?
Oh. Very difficult, that. I would think about 8 foot by 4 foot, something like that. And of course, you made your bunk beds. Only my father did. Made his own bunk beds and little places dug out in the soil to put your provisions or. You know, like that.
How deep into the ground would the trench go?
Be about 3 foot, something like that. About 3 foot.
How many people would it take?
Well, about six. So it's just hard luck if there was more than six. It was one mad rush to get in. Very amusing, really, because my family, the boys, they had no pajamas, couldn't afford pajamas, so they had the nightshirts on. And so it was pretty rough for them, you know, especially if it was cold.
Did you ever use public shelters?
Odd occasions, yes, but mainly under bridges or something like that, you know. Or you just drop down on the ground and just try to protect yourself. But, I mean, if there was any bombs dropped, well, you just prayed that you were going to survive.
Who made the Anderson shelter?
Oh, they were supplied. They were by the government. They were supplied to families.
Free?
Yes. What I can remember, yes.
But did your father have to dig the trench?
Father had to dig it, with the help of the oldest boys. We all had to help.
How long did the Anderson shelter take to put up?
Oh, I'd think about 4 hours. About 4 hours. Yes.
What was the construction?
It was a sort of a duralumin, which wouldn't rust, even the bolts to bolt it together.
Was it corrugated?
Corrugated, yes, corrugated.
Any other memories of the Blitz?
I think that was most frightening, going to the pictures and coming out and seeing those stick of bombs coming towards me. I was very frightened. And they ran all the way home.
How do you think public morale stood up to the bombing in Birmingham?
Very, very well indeed. Very well. Everybody helped one another. I mean, you had shops which were badly damaged, but you'd have someone with a box outside sitting on it with a few provisions and business as usual. So it was the morale was very good.
Did you think at that time the Germans would win the war?
No, no.
Why not? No.
Because I thought we were too good for them, even though we were a small nation. I thought eventually we would beat them.
Did you listen to a wireless at that time?
I did, yes.
What would you listen to?
Itmar, I think, was one, a radio show. Tommy Hanley, that comes to mind. Music Hall. Of course, at that time, I used to go to the variety shows at Aston in Birmingham, because my sister lived near there. And it was cheap to get in. I think it was about threepence to go and see a show. Represent the old money, of course. Yes.
Would you listen to VIP speeches on the radio?
Anything to do with the progress of the war, yes. If there's anything on, we would all be around the wireless and just listen to what was going on. My father insisted that we all listened.
Why was he so insistent?
Well, he thought it was important that we should know what was going on in the world. My father was, he went to a blue coat school in Birmingham because he was sent there for underprivileged children. So he had a good education there and he wanted to be an architect. But of course, with his family, he worshipped his family. He wanted to earn more money quickly, and he hadn't time to go and study anymore. He just wanted to earn money. So he was very hard working. And of course, we all loved him very much.
Would you listen to Haw Haw?
Listened to him on one occasion, and that was enough. We just didn't like the man. I don't think he was liked by any people, the British people anyway. I think it was because he was British.
Any other memories before you joined up?
No, I don't think so. No, no. I tried on several occasions to join up, even though I was at school. But he used to ask me what school I went to. Well, that tripped me up, and I I was honest and just told him the truth, and he said, well, come back when you've left school.
Can you tell me the procedure when you joined up, please?
Yes. How it happened, I was on my way to work by bus, and I met this friend of mine, I can't recall his name now, and I said, where are you going to? He said, I'm going to join up. Are you coming? I said, well, they won't have me. I was 16 and a half at the time. So I went with him. And before I knew where I was, I got the King's shilling and that was it. I was in the army. I volunteered for the Black Watch or the Gordon Islanders. And they put me in the Dorsetshire Regiment.
Why did you volunteer for Highland Regiment?
I don't know. I just loved the sound of the pipes, and that was it. My two brothers were in the army at that time. They were both in the Dorsetshire Regiment.
So about how old were you when you joined up?
I was 16 and a half. In the April, and my birthday was in the August, so about 16 and a half, I think.
So we're talking about 41?
Yes.
Had you had any home guard training before?
Yes, I'd had a go at that.
Can you tell me about your home guard experience?
That was very amusing, because there was one rifle amongst 20 boys. And we had to have broom shanks. We were practicing the drill, so that when I did get in the army, well, it helped.
Which units of the Home Guard were you in?
I can't tell you that. I think it was called the LDV at that time, Local Defence Volunteered, and then it became the Home Guard.
Where did you meet?
We met at, it was a shed, now I'm trying to think of the area, Alum Rock, Birmingham.
Did you eventually get firearms in the LDV?
No, I never, no. I think I was a bit too young.
So what kind of duties did you have in LDV?
Well, it was just, we were just practicing, running across fields and dropping down, and the usual training for military, you know. Got quite good at the finish.
So going forward to joining up, where did you do the basic training?
Basic training for the army.
Yes.
Dorchester Barracks.
Can you give some details of what that was like, please?
Yes, it's a very, very large parade ground, and if the sergeant major shouted from the what seemed like half a mile away, you heard him. You know, it was a vigorous training, but I enjoyed it. I liked the army. My father told me, he said, "You've joined, you made your bed, you lie on it. Never come home without a pass. You do as you're told." And I tried to live up to that.
How were you treated by the people in charge of the basic training?
Very well. Very fair. Very fair indeed.
Were you able to cope with what they expected you to do?
Yes.
Do you think the basic training did you any good?
Yes, it certainly did.
What was the next step?
The next step, we were sent to Creech Camp. It was in the New Forest, Hampshire. And there I met my two brothers who were in the same battalion.
Which battalion were you in?
70th Battalion, a Dorsetshire Regiment, Young Soldiers Battalion. It was like they trained them and then sent them to various regiments. As a matter of fact, where our companies met, Sergeant Major shouted, "Brian." And there was three Bryans turned up, because our tents were quite near to one another. So we didn't know who was who, so we all went ran out, and that was it. That was very amusing. It was very hard, the training there. You're mostly climbing trees and going along ropes. long route marches, take it out in a truck, leave you, you had to find your own way back. Training like that, you know. Mostly field training rather than saluting and drill and sloping arms, that sort of thing, you know. Yeah.
And then?
I was transferred from there. I was sent to RAF Station Ibsley in Hampshire, and we were guarding the Spitfires on the aerodrome, because at that time they hadn't trained the RAF regiment. So we were taking over. They took over our duties eventually, but we were guarding the Coastal Command, I think they were. Used to go out over the channel, Coastal Command. Of course, we were quite near to Portsmouth. And while I was there, I was given a job in an officer's mess, looking after the army officers of our company, serving them and also serving the pilots, so that I was a waiter, and that was quite interesting. Good food, better food than what my comrades were getting at the camp. As a matter of fact, I was asked if I'd care to go back to duty and be promoted, and I said no, I wouldn't like that at all, because they would know more than what I did, and it was unfair for me to go back as an NCO. So you might say I missed my chance there.
How did you get on with the officers in the mess?
Very well, very well. You had to be smart and, you know, be polite and know your manners. Yes, and I was there for a few months.
Is this at Ibsley?
Ibsley, yes. I don't suppose it's there now. It's on the Salisbury Road. It's in the Hampshire anyway. Pretty little village. While I was there, a very amusing thing. A captain came up to me from my brother Tom's company, and he said, "Can you have a word with your brother, Tom? Damn fine soldier. I'll promote him. What does he do?" He goes absent without leave, and his only excuse is he wants to be with the lads. He doesn't want to be in charge of them. So I said to him, "Well, I can't do anything about that. He's bigger than me." So I thought that was a bit, you know, it was amusing. So from there, I was sent to Cromer, Norfolk. From Norfolk, wasn't there very long. And I was sent to Lincolnshire.
Is this still with the 70th Dorsets?
No. I was transferred from Ibsley to the Staffordshire Regiment.
North Staffordshire?
Yes, to Cromer. And from there to Sutton-on-Sea in Lincolnshire. And I was there long enough to do a 100-mile march from Sutton-on-Sea to Scarborough.
How did you cope?
And I was very tired at the end of that. Very tired indeed. I did try to pull a fast one by hiding in one of the trucks, but I was found out. And the sergeant major wasn't very pleased. So he let me off with a warning.
Was there much difference between North Staffordshire Regiment and Dorset's?
Yes, the North Staffs, it was I thought, more professional, you know, better trained. I mean, I'd had vigorous training with the Dorsetshire Regiment, but we were all young boys. I mean, in my company, the company I was in, there was twins age 15, identical twins. And the when we arrived, the sergeant major said, "I know quite a few of you are underage. Now you've got the chance now to go home. And nobody will say anything to you. You just pack up your bag and you go home to your mother's. Come back a bit later on when you're grown up." And there's one or two step forward, but I was too proud to step out. I remembering what my father had told me.
Any memories of these early days with North Staffordshires in eastern England?
Just apart from the 100 mile march, well, in Lincolnshire, I didn't like it because the it was flat, and you saw a church steeple, and we knew that's where our quarters were, and he didn't seem to be getting any nearer. He just marched and marched, and the lads, he used the square, of course, you know. Oh, that damned steeple, it doesn't get any nearer, and oh, we're tired, we're hungry. Anyway, apart from that, it wasn't too bad, I suppose, you know. I had a bit of a scare at Sutton-on-Sea. We were on the sands there. And one of the boys, for a joke, which was a bad joke, he hid me rifle in the sand, turned me back, and it had gone. And I was sent with an escort and had to find it. So you might say we're playing sandcastles looking for my rifle. I was let off there, so wasn't too bad. Yes, yes.
Did he help you find it?
Oh, yes, they had to. Yes. They were ordered to go back and stay there, if necessary, all night till they found my rifle. So, yeah. So from there, well, we sent to the Perth Valley. From Perth, we were there just a matter of days in an old barn, given a sack. He said, "There's the straw in the barn, make your bed." And that was it. So we had to sleep in the barn. I think it was about 3 days there. And then we finished up at Thurso in Scotland. Thurso. And we went by boat to Shetland Islands. And it was very, very desolate there. Just like the Falklands, I believe. No trees. All there is there is sheep. The winds, the cold, the wet bogs, very hard. 18 months I had there. 18 months of going out in the truck, dropping you, and then you had to find your way back over the peat bogs. I think one night I slept in a pigsty just for warmth. So you might say I was cuddling up to the pigs. But I smelled pretty high when I came out of there.
Were the pigs friendly?
Oh, they were friendly, yes. Well, there was male and female in there, so they weren't interested in me. Yes.
Where was the base in Shetland?
Lerwick. And then I spent the time at a small fishing village the other side of the island, Scalloway it's called. I don't know whether you've heard of it, Scalloway, little fishing village. And we had a base there. And I always remember it because church parade, you went into this tiny church and all your rifles were stacked with a guard in the porch where you went in. And it had to be two lots going in because you're just a tiny church. And the weather was atrocious there. I've never experienced anything in all my life, the weather.
What was it like?
Well, it's so cold and wet. And you're on parade early on in the morning, and you're shivering. You're glad to be marching. You're glad to be doing drill to keep warm. But plenty of porridge on the morning with salt in, and that built us up, really did.